Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 622.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment. And by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family, who keeps us from having to run commercials. Isn't that awesome? I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Well, John, we've made it through spring practice. We've made it through A-Day. I have a cold or something tonight, so I sound kind of sniffly, but pay that no attention. And I guess we have a little bit of spring to look back on before we get into the long, dull summer.
The long, dark tea time of the off season. That's what we're staring into.
It is true. It is true. And I guess we have a commitment today that happened.
We do.
Yeah. So who did we get?
So the exciting news before we get into the A-Day deep analysis conclusions is a four-star safety from Georgia named Terrence Love committed yesterday. So that was exciting. It was a big get, a priority target for them, and a kind of a future anchor of the secondary. So, and he's a big, tall. I mean, he's a tall safety. He's like over 6'2", and be a big, fast guy. So that's exciting.
Yeah, you know, it seems like that defensive backfield is the one area of our team we haven't had any problem with all along through any of this. I don't know why that is.
I think we used to, but I think we've become a place where people know they can come and play against top competition here and get drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like the one position on the field, offense, defense, special teams, that and kicker, I guess, that we've just never had any problem bringing in really good players for, those two positions.
Sure.
So, well, that's good. I'll take them. I mean, they're super important, you know. Going all the way back.
It's outside of the position and the fact that it's a four-star guy, it's just positive momentum on the recruiting side in a general sense, which is a good and needed thing.
Every little bit helps. Everything that makes a positive impression and lets us overcome our yet again bad impression is a positive, right? I mean, and no matter where you came down on the business earlier in the year, now you've just got to hope we can recover whatever the situation and you know, bring in players, because you can't do anything without players. Well, good players, you know what I mean? You systems and all that only goes so far. You, at the end of the day, the teams that win are the teams that have the best players.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, so we got Big Terrence Love. I wonder if he's related to Big Royce Love that used to play for Vanderbilt that nearly beat us in 93. Could be. All right, so A-Day. We love us some A-Day, but honestly, A-Day hasn't been that exciting in a long time. Gus kind of sucked the fun out of A-Day by making it more analytical and stuff and less of an event. And they actually, I thought, tried to make it more of a game this year, which was interesting, even though it was a very short one. But there just wasn't enough firepower, I didn't feel like, on either side of the ball to make it a really compelling game like it has been in some years in the past. How did you see the event?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did not have enough players to play a full game with both sides, right? They have a bunch of guys get hurt at the end. So that was not the plan. So it was, you know, 32 minutes of football. In the second half, there was a running clock. So it was less than 32 minutes of football. So this podcast will be over twice as long as the
Well, you know what Pat Dye used to say, 32 minutes and we'll beat Alabama. Yeah.
So, it was the right thing to do, but it was limited in terms, like you said. I also think there's not a ton of offensive firepower, and I think, you know, the guy that might be the starting quarterback is out injured, and four of the offensive linemen didn't play. So I think that matters, right? When you're talking about trying to move the ball and gain yards and stuff. So I think that was a big thing. I think most importantly, because of the limited number of players on the field and the, you know, with the scope of it, it's important to not draw any definitive conclusion. Mm-hmm. To say like, yes, this is what we absolutely know about this football team. Because I think there's some things we can say about what happened on A-Day. We observed and some things we think, but I think that's a long way from that to we know.
Right. But our job here tonight is to pretend like we know and to draw definite conclusions.
That, it's time to draw some definitive conclusions.
Yes, exactly. Yes, 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 yes. So
now I read the warning label, and now we're just tearing it off and diving straight in.
Eating the whole bottle of pills despite the warning label. Exactly right. So the MVP, Robbie Ashford. Honestly, I thought I'm going to start about him by talking about T.J. Finley. T.J. Finley, to me, looked about the same as he did last year. I know they've been saying, oh, he's just so improved. He knows what he's doing. He's doing great. Last year he would throw two passes and wildly overthrow both of them. This year he threw two passes, wildly overthrew one, and the other bounced off the hands of the receiver that would have scored a touchdown. So, I guess that's better, but I felt like Robbie Ashford looked interesting, and we've talked before about how when you're having to go down the depth chart at quarterback to find somebody that's exciting, that usually means you have a problem at quarterback. Would you say we have a problem at quarterback?
Well, again, I would say yes, but I think, we have four quarterbacks, right? And two of them have started SEC football games and won a couple of SEC football games. And one is a four-star transfer from Hoover, mm-hmm. who went to another school and never got a chance to play. And he's the mystery box, like we talked about last week. And so this really, the biggest thing we did learn in this game was, what does Robbie Ashford look like throwing the football and kind of being a quarterback? I think I agree with you. I think Finley looked very much the same.
Yeah.
He looked like the same guy from the end of last year. And we don't know what Calzada is going to look like in this offense.
Yeah.
But we had no idea what Robbie Ashford would look like.
No. Or Gurnier. Okay. Yeah, and we got to see both of them, and honestly, they both looked better than Finley.
Yeah, I mean, Holden Gurnier was in there for one series at the end against the backups on defense, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to go crazy about that, but he did look good. But I think he's still, a long shot.
Yeah. For now, yeah. But
he did look good. The touchdown throw to Landon King at the end was a good throw.
Yeah. He made several. Well, he stood in the pocket. He looked decisive. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He had the mechanics, and he had the swashbuckling, intangibles that I feel like Finley always looks very tentative, even mm-hmm. though he's a huge guy that should be able to just, Cam Newton his way around if he wanted to. He always looks like he's not quite sure what he's doing, and that's one of the things that disturbs me about him. But right now, With Calzone being laid up on the shelf right now, I've got him ranked Ashford, Gurnier, and then Finley, and then Calzada. And the funny thing is, it's probably going to end up the opposite of that. When all said and done, it's probably going to end up the opposite of that.
Well, Gurnier looked good. At the end of the game, he did show something, and he was decisive, like you're saying. He threw some checkdowns and stuff, but that was good. At least he made a decision and did something. Right. And moved the team down the field. But
he saw Landon King and said, there we go.
He did. So, I think Ashford moved himself into contention with Calzada and Finley. I think he did. Maybe I'm crazy, and we don't see all the other scrimmages.
Right.
But I think if it's a results-oriented thing, again, here's the other thing I want you to think about, okay, when you're evaluating. Because, again, Finley versus Ashford in this game. Ashford was playing with the number two offense against the number one defense. Finley was playing with the number one offense against the number two defense.
Yeah, and well,
so I think that matters, the degree of difficulty.
It does. And one thing we have to keep in mind, though, I can't tell you how many A days we've seen where the backup quarterback was the MVP and then barely played the next season. Damian Craig was the MVP in 1993, and he played in 96 and 97.
I'm going to look up the history of A-Day MVPs while you're talking a little while. So.
Well, we were also going to talk about lots of tight ends, and I'll say this. I think that we said before that we would see a lot of four, if they had any sense, right, because they want to put the best players out on the field, that they would use a lot of formations that involve multiple tight ends, and it seemed like they did. I mean, it would be peak Gus Malzahn, and I love Gus, but it would be peak Gus Malzahn to have five all-SEC tight ends on his lineup and have one of them in at a time and never use him. You know what I mean? He'd have them out there and they wouldn't even do anything. So having them out there multiples at a time and trying to actually use them is such a breath of fresh air. It's almost all worth all this turmoil just for that, to actually see our tight ends being used. I still don't understand how we got them. And honestly, we got most of them under Gus, which never made any sense to me. It's like, how does Gus know the situation with a team that we had no offensive linemen and he goes out and brings in a bunch of tight ends he doesn't use? I've never understood that, but don't know.
But they did play a lot of tight ends, and the tight ends did play and make plays. You know, not just Landon King, but the other tight ends were out there. And there was a lot of two and three tight end sets, and I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. So.
Yeah, man. The who's the one that Jake Fromm. Yeah. No, the other Fromm. Luke Fromm.
Tyler
Fromm.
Luke Deal, Tyler Luke Fromm.
Okay, Tyler Fromm. Dude looked like a mountain. He looked like he'd gained 100 pounds and grown about 6 inches in the off season. He looked huge.
He definitely put on some muscle, man.
Yeah, he looked impressive. So between him and the other guys, I mean, I feel like we're in good there. What did you find out about the MVP of the A-Day game? Did you find anything? Oh,
I got some stuff for you. Are you all ready? Right.
Yes, do it. Let's do it.
I have the MVPs going back to 1987.
Okay. All right.
So this year, there's offense, defense, special teams. We're just going to worry about offense.
Right? Offense. Yes. About, right? Yes. Yes.
So like 2019.
Yeah.
Seth Williams.
Okay. That makes sense.
2018. So part of the conclusion I want you to draw at this is, does this award matter or not? Okay.
Right. In other words, do the person that's the MVP in the spring end up contributing in a major way in the fall?
2018, running back C.J. Tolbert.
Okay, that was a bust.
2017, Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
2016, running back Jovan Robinson, receiver Marcus Davis.
Wow, Jovan Robinson was still around in 2016.
In the spring.
That's about it. Okay. I think he was just passing through on his way down to Florida. They said, hey, come play in the A-Day game. He's like, yeah, what the heck?
2015 receiver Myron Burton Jr.
Yeah, that worked out. Cool.
2014.
Big contributor.
2014, Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
2013, Cameron Artis Payne.
It's kind of every other year.
Okay. 2012, Kyle Frazier.
Oh, boy. Never got a dinner. That's the line I was looking for earlier. Never got a dinner.
2011, Lutzen Kirken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was kind of, you know what? I would say he was kind of the MVP of 2011, honestly.
Yeah. All right. 2010, receiver Quindarius Carr.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking in 2010. When I think of the players on the 2010 team, Quindarius Carr is the first one that comes to mind. He's the guy that carried us to the national championship with those drop punt returns. How in the crap is Quindarius Carr the MVP in 2010, John?
Because we held Cam under wraps and didn't let him do anything in the spring game.
Yeah, he was terrible in the A-Day game. He was the worst quarterback in the A-Day game. I remember that.
All right.
Still. Quindarius Carr. What about freaking T-Rod? I mean, our other receivers, our actually good receivers.
Okay. We got a few more years to go.
God, a few
2009,
more years to go.
Ben Tate.
Yeah. See, it's every other year.
Right.
Every other year makes sense.
Well, but I think it's also maybe getting a different coach eras now, too. Okay. 2008, Cody Burns.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
2007, Brandon Cox.
Yeah, that makes sense.
2006, Brad Lester.
Well, okay.
2005, Brandon Cox.
Yeah, yeah.
2004, Brandon Cox.
No, 2004?
Yes.
Jason Campbell, Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown.
Obamadu
and Romishadu, Mix. And then you got, yeah, wow. Okay.
2003, Trey Smith. 2002, Daniel Cobb. Oh, 2001, boy. Daniel Cobb.
Good gosh. Multiple A-Day MVP, Daniel Cobb. Never got a dinner.
All right. 2000, wide receiver DeAndre Green.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Here, I've toasted DeAndre Green. That's fair.
1999, Gabe Gross. Major league outfielder.
I was going to say, he pitched several scoreless innings in the A-Day game.
Okay. Now we're getting some good ones. You ready?
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can guess. 98 is going to be Ben Leard.
Running back Kincaid Pennington.
Get out.
All right.
John, how did these people get to be MVP?
Someone knows. God knows.
But I don't know. And I remember them too. I watched every one of these. Right. I watched Keep every going. One of these.
Keep going. You Keep watched going. A lot of these in person.
Yeah, we did.
96, tight end Jesse Montgomery.
Well, I mean, he was kind of cool for a tight end in Terry Bowden's offense, but Damian Craig was on that team. All right, 95 is going to be either Stephen Davis or Patrick Nix. So watch it
Damian
be like
Craig.
It was what? Is Damian Craig?
Damian Craig.
All right, that's yeah. He didn't even play hardly.
94, Damian Craig.
Yeah, I knew he was a two-timer, but he didn't even play either one of those years other than like on the goal line.
93, James Bostic.
Yeah, that's fair.
92, James Bostic.
Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely.
91, Stan White.
Yeah, I knew Stan was in there somewhere.
1990, quarterback Frank McIntosh.
Get out.
I do not know who that is.
Oh, I remember. I remember Frank McIntosh. Because I used to say it's cool that an Apple computer can play quarterback for Auburn. Yes.
All right.
I remember Frank McIntosh. He never played for us, but I remember that name. How could you forget having McIntosh as your quarterback in the day and age of the McIntosh? Because I had a McIntosh.
All right. 89, Stacy Danley.
Yeah. Well, that was Pat Dye trying to build him up because he was the only running back we had. And James Joseph.
88, James Joseph.
And James, yeah. So Joseph and Danley were the two, yeah.
87,
Jeff Berger.
Running back Curtis Stewart.
Get out. That 87 team was loaded, and it was Curtis freaking Stewart?
Yes.
No offense, but...
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
So, on that, what that detour taught us is that at times, the A-Day MVP can be useful and valuable, but many other years, it means less than zero.
Many years, you just want to say...
Come on, man!
I
was just talking about practice.
I know. I think the most egregious one there was Quindarius Carr in 2010.
Kincaid Pennington.
Yeah.
Quindarius Carr is up there.
There's a couple. Yeah. There's a couple that
I'm
are real.
Look again.
There's a couple real head scratchers there. Well,
Brandon Cox being the 2004 A-Day MVP.
Yeah. Well, Cadillac and Ronnie Brown and Jason Campbell on that team and the freaking Brandon Cox, man.
Yeah, Quindarius Carr might be the winner, though.
Yeah, that's – oh, good grief. Wow. Okay, well, that was fun. All right, we talked about the tight ends. Linebackers, we've been talking about Wesley Steiner for ages because we knew he was going to be a good one, and he got some playing time.
He did. We've lost two linebackers off last year's team that made a lot of tackles, and Papo is sitting out the spring after recovering from surgery.
Because so he's always, always injured.
Yeah, it's becoming a problem, right?
Yes, he's barely played in his Auburn career, honestly.
So we've lost McLean and Chandler Wooten, Zacoby McLean and Chandler Wooten off last year's team, and Papo is banged up and not playing. So there is an opportunity for two young guys to step up and get a lot of playing time. And it's been Steiner and Cam Riley. They have been the two guys. They've made plays. They've been in there all the time. Mm-hmm. They're running around. And some other guys have played. Joko Willis played some, and he made a couple plays. And then our signee linebacker made a big tackle at the end. So I feel like, you know, we generally play three linebackers and rotate them, and I think it's going to be Papo, Steiner, and Riley being those three guys probably.
Well, and the, you know, these days we – you know, you don't often play that many linebackers in today's game. It's funny that we're running a 3-4, and yet I doubt we'll have four linebackers on the field, hardly any.
Well, but I mean, when you say 3-4, the two outside guys are edge rushers, right?
Yeah, so
we're not counting, you know, our two guys on the outside who would be big pass rushers, and then we got those guys back. Right, we got Echo Yoda back. We got
yeah, but we need somebody else.
Derek Hall, and then we got Dylan Brooks, the young guy. You know, I think we're probably looking for a, you know, to pick somebody up at that position.
See, that's what bugs me though. That should be called a 5-2. It's not a 3-4 if your outside linebackers are playing on the line of scrimmage. That's a 5-2.
They're standing off the line of scrimmage and rushing from there. So they're trying to keep the quarterback off balance. So they don't have their hand in the dirt.
Okay. Well, all right.
It's fair. Like we don't even think about them or talk about them as a linebackers. They're just different. It's a different thing entirely. So.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not even. Yeah. It's how can you lump them together as a four and two of them aren't even linebackers? Again, I just it offends my sensibilities. I find it crude and unworkable.
I think it's part of it is just this is where football is going. It you have is. Edge guys and you have linebackers.
John,
and they're edge guys.
Is this what we want football to be?
Maybe.
Quoting Nick Saban, 2013 or whatever. Well, what else do we know about A-Day?
Decent crowd, nice day.
Yeah.
Good weekend for Auburn sports overall.
Should we be happy that as many people were there as were, or should we be sad that there weren't as many people there as there have been in the past?
Yeah, I think the days of trying to have a gazillion people at spring games is over. I think people can watch it online, and there's not that much to see. And it's, you know, again, especially if you want to run on Masters weekend, people got other stuff to do. So.
That's true. There was a lot going on. This was a big sports weekend in my house because I had the A-Day game. We had the Australian Grand Prix, we had IndyCar at Long Beach, and we had the Masters. That was a lot, you know. I had a lot of chores to do, but I had the TV on the whole pretty much weekend. So
yeah, oh yeah, lots of, and it was opening weekend of baseball, Major League Baseball. But yeah, other than that, I did talk to some people who saw it firsthand, and they were pretty happy with it. Felt like it was good, but the only downside thing we haven't talked about is that we could not run the ball against ourselves.
Well, with that offensive line, I don't think many people could. Certainly Tank wasn't able to get any. I looked at my wife early on in that game, and I said, up until now, I've been thankful he hasn't transferred. Now I'm starting to wonder why he hasn't. And I hate to say that. I hate to say it. But, I mean, from his standpoint, why is he still with us with that offensive line?
I think he likes Auburn, and again, I think the offensive line can be better this fall, and I think they're really focusing on ways to make him successful. I think that's the key. You talked about firepower in one of your opening things about A-Day. He is the firepower.
Yes, yes.
We need him to be maximum effective for us to do anything this fall.
I saw Cole Kubelik interviewing Harsin during the game, maybe, or at halftime, I forget. It's so weird now. They're actually out on the field during the play. Gus started that. Now they all do it. And he said, Cole asked him, "You've been throwing a lot of dump off, check off passes to Tank. Is that going to be a bigger part of the offense?" And he said, he was very evasive, but he said something effective. We're trying to find ways to get him the ball. We did some screens with him and stuff like that. So
I 100% yes on that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to look for him to catch the ball as much as run it.
Yeah. We need difference makers on offense, and he's the one we're sure we have. So
that's right. I mean, just get him the ball.
That's it. Speaking of which, it's time to do a position group review of the running back chart.
Oh, here we go. The running backs. That's right. There's our running back theme.
Please clap.
So our depth chart has been shaken up a little bit, but we do know we have Tank and Jarquez, right?
That's what we got.
But no little number eight.
Shivers.
And who else did we lose? Well, I know we lost Mark Anthony Richards or whatever, but that was
a year ago.
Yeah, it just seems weird not to have had him. Yeah.
So I mean, Jordan Ingram is like a guy that was a true freshman last year that didn't play basically at all. Sean Jackson is a walk on that got a scholarship recently that played a tiny amount last year. So we have two running backs that we played last year, Tank and Jarquez, that are back with Shivers gone.
Jarquez was hurt.
But Jarquez is hurt this spring. He didn't play. And so we have one running back coming in this fall, Damari Alston. And he's a good signee. I mean, he's a good player, a four-star running back out of Atlanta. We think he could be a good player. So you got Tank, Jarquez, and Damari Alston. And then you got, like, Sean Jackson as the the fourth running back, kind of, we're playing a 1AA team and we're up 30 in the second half. We can hand the ball to him 20 times. So,
yeah. And Jackson seemed, he had the look about him of the A-Day MVP, if not for how the quarterback did.
Exactly. I think he was definitely the in contention for A-Day MVP that we'd be reading on this list 20 years later going, who was that guy?
Who was that guy? Oh, man. Of course, when we did that, we wouldn't say, but what about all these other guys? We'd be like, well, I guess that was who they had.
We'd say Tank was on that team.
Tank was on that team. What the heck? Yeah, that's about it.
I think Alston is really important. We need him to come in ready to play, to know in the offense, be able capable of playing, because we know there's going to be a game somewhere where Tank or Jarquez are banged up and can't play. And that means Damari Alston is going to get a bunch of carries in an SEC game at some point this fall.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he just has to get up to speed and get ready and be able to do it mentally, mostly, with everything. So what do you think about running back? I mean, how concerned should we be? I guess we need a little more depth. It wouldn't be bad to have another guy or two in there.
Yeah, I mean, again, we definitely need guys for next year, right?
Yeah.
So I think one or two guys in next year's class for sure. The difference makers coming in would be nice. But also, I think it's a lot of it is Tank and Jarquez and staying healthy, because the depth, you see the depth is not great.
Yeah.
I mean, if we had an SEC game and both of them were hurt.
Oh, Lord.
We'd be in deep doo-doo.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be the Robbie Ashford running game, I'm afraid. You have to find a way to get him the Nick Marshall offense. But this staff isn't going to do that, though. So they would just stick to their guns and keep throwing the ball and everything. And we'll see.
But I do think, again, we talked about last week, we have kind of limited depth at receiver and not a bunch of difference makers. I think, again, the Tank and Jarquez are both difference makers. Damari Alston might be a difference maker. So this is a position where we got guys that can move the needle on offense. We're not sure the quarterbacks are difference maker guys.
Right.
So I think these are the guys that are going to have to make the offense go.
Well, and speaking of the offense, the impression that I was getting from it, and I know that we don't see much of it there, but the impression I get is this is going to be an offense that is very reminiscent of, like, vintage Tuberville early 2000s, where you have tight ends and you do a lot of play action, short passes. That's kind of what I was seeing, is like play action to Tank. Tank's able to draw the attention of the, of everybody on defense, and then you can roll out the other way and hit the tight end or hit a short receiver route. And that's one reason I think Robbie Ashford has more value than TJ Finley, is that Finley's not good at rolling out on his feet and throwing the ball, and Ashford just seemed a lot more comfortable doing that. Finley just seems more like a, drop back, two-step, survey the field and let it go kind of a guy. So, which is, my absolute least favorite kind of offense. So, But yeah, it feels like we're going back about 20 years in our offense.
But it also isn't it ironic a little bit also that Ashford is the running guy and he looked good in the spring and yeah. they want to bring in these drop back pocket passer guys?
Well, I think it's more that when they did roll out play action plays, he could do it quicker and more crisply, and he was just more accurate. I think it doesn't matter what kind of quarterback you are right now. If you can get the ball to the receiver in a catchable position, you're the superior quarterback right now.
Yes.
So, I mean, Nick Marshall would be in contention in this offense just because he was a fairly good, accurate passer sometime. Not always, but sometime. And that's about what we have right now, you know. So, okay. Anything else about the running backs?
No. Next week we're going to do tight ends. And again, another group on offense that has a lot, has depth, and has difference makers. So
I tell you, we're running back university, and nothing says how far we've kind of come down in our player base more than the fact of what we have at running back. I mean, Tank Bigsby is the kind of running back Auburn should have always. We should have two or three of them.
Amen.
Those other guys, I'm not convinced at all that they're Auburn running backs, but we'll see. Jarquez was good at the beginning of the season, but he was not good against tougher competition. So we'll see. I think Jarquez would be a dominant running back if he played for like a group, what's it called? The group of five
smaller
or whatever?
School. Group yeah, of, yeah, yeah. Smaller school.
Yeah. One of those, I think he would be absolutely great, but playing in the SEC.
All right. I believe you have some news for the listeners about a certain project. Secret project?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, in terms of basketball, I'll just say that we have put a lot of work in. Starting in the middle of January when the team was really dominant and it felt like we were going to win the national championship, you and I talked about it and said, let's do this book about Auburn basketball going back to the beginning of Sonny Smith. And now here it is, April 11th as we record this, and the first draft is pretty much done. Now, there's still more commentary to go. You got some stuff to do. I'm going to throw a few more things in there. And I'm going to go through and put the points, rebounds, assists, statistics for the player, for the main players every year. But I'm saving that till the end of the second draft. So it's pretty much done. So what that means is at 90,000 words right now, it'll probably end up being about 100,000. We have put together basically a combination encyclopedia of Auburn basketball for the last 44 years and a look at how we experienced it and what it felt like to be fans of the team up and down. And that's kind of the unique formula that we brought with We Believed that people really liked, right? Because you learn facts, but it's not an encyclopedia. You learn them as you talk about the stories. It's got a human element that's woven through it. That's to me is part of the appeal. I didn't want to just go through and do a giant Wikipedia article, you know. I wanted us to give like a personal view of following the Auburn basketball program while it did this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's woven all the way through it with our conversations and all of our comments and stuff. So you kind of get both of those. And I think it makes for a much more interesting read than just dull facts.
No, it's our perception and experiences about these things as they happen.
Yeah. Yeah, so we talk about how many rebounds Charles Barkley had, but then we talk about like you sneaking off from school to go to a game. and those are woven all together, you know, and it makes it for a fun experience. And again, we've gotten, seriously, John, I don't know that we've gotten a single negative review of We Believed. I haven't even seen like a qualified review. Our first two books, some people said, well, it wasn't what I expected, or but it was good, or well, it's not quite how I would have, you know. We Believed has gotten nothing but just like sparkling reviews. And I feel like that's because we've kind of found a formula now that is successful. And we'll return to it, obviously, with We Believe Part 2, too. So.
And We Believe Parts 3 and 4.
Oh, God. Live that. I don't know how long you're planning to live. You may end up having to do all that one yourself. I'll tell you right now. I'll just give you the login to my Google Docs account, and you can get to work on that one because, man, I tell you what, these are the – if typing something and Googling and researching something is backbreaking labor, these are the backbreaking labors of literary work because I have sifted through so many online newspapers now between the football book and this book. I have read 8 million pages of the Montgomery Advertiser. Never in my life did I think I would spend so much of my life reading the Montgomery Advertiser, but I tell you what, I have read everything from Philip Marshall to AL.com too, of course. For the later years, you get that, right? It's all pretty much the Montgomery Advertiser early on because they have the best coverage of it. But later on, what's his name? Tom Green, a couple of others. Yeah, I think a couple of others. Yeah, so, yeah, Tomas Verde.
Yeah. So, anyhow, we're excited about the basketball book.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited. All right. Well, we had the NCAA tournament bracket that was finished up while we were on the air last week. So, who won?
The name of the winning bracket was Someone Knows God. By Patrick.
Someone knows. God knows.
Please clap.
By who? Patrick?
By Patrick, who barely beat out Rich Reimer, whose bracket was named I Don't Have Facts to Back This
Up. I don't have facts to back this up.
Apparently he did.
I want to give Patrick some credit. He finished at the 96.6 percentile in terms of bracket prediction.
Woo!
So within the top 4% of everybody in the country. That's pretty impressive.
And I say you.
That's right. That is. Wow. That's amazing. Good deal. Good deal. All right. I'm excited that that they did so well. I know we did terrible. So they had Kansas prove you're
better than us.
Yeah, they did. They all proved they were better than us. Didn't the last three that were in contention all have Kansas or something?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's how it came down. Yeah. That's pretty good. Wow. I can't imagine actually picking the winner because I've won a couple of these brackets over the years. I don't think I've ever gotten the winner right.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, congratulations to Patrick and to everybody else who did so well. Where did Boris end up?
Where did Boris end up? Way ahead of you and me, I can tell you that.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Tied for sixth.
Yep. There it is. He'll be insufferable for another few months. That's what he does. He has
sort of smoked us in the bowl thing. Smoked us in the basketball.
That's what he does. He's already changed back to his football jersey. He had his basketball suit on for a while there, but he's back to his football jersey and his hat with his own picture on it because he's like Aubie. He has a baseball hat with his own picture on it, which is just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. All right, we also are doing our Fantasy Formula One League, and I'll just give, because I'm sure some of you care a lot and some of you couldn't care less, so I'll just tell you real quick. Daniel O is in charge with Scuderia Furia di Pavone with 687 points already. Second place is Eric M with Scuderia Aquila de Gura, which is War Eagle. He's about 30 points behind Daniel. And in third place is Alexandra Ringer with 620 points. She's about 30 behind second place and about 60 behind the lead right now. So well done, Alexandra, kicking butt. I am currently in sixth place because I made the horrific decision to cut Checo Perez and keep Max Verstappen, and of course Perez finished second and Verstappen's car caught on fire and he was out of the race. So I just can't catch a freaking break, John. It's really, really frustrating. But the reason my team is six is because that's the team that has Leclerc. He is my double. You get to pick one driver to be your double, gets double points. And the guy that won the race, I had him getting double points. So that was that's like the smartest thing I've done. That's the only thing I've done that's any smart. So there we go. And by the way, Mira's team is in second place. Oh, and is that you? No, is that you, team?
I'm in 11th.
Yeah, team Vai Devaro Veloce. Okay.
Vaya Devaro Veloce, which is team basically go really fast.
I like it. Okay. Vaya Devaro Veloce. Okay, so you're in 11th. That's cool. All right. You're ahead of Alan. I know he'd be hating that.
He knows infinitely more about this than I do.
He knows more than infinitely more than I do. All right. Well, there is your update on the Fantasy Formula One League. Let's see. We do not have commercials other than talking about our cool activities we're doing with our patrons. So if you want to join the fun, go over to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. Uh-oh, I don't have it open. I'm going to have to quickly log in. But what that means is that that for as little as a dollar a month, so you can, I can't get the thing to log me out of the Avengers, so I can log into this one. For as little as a dollar a month, you can join the fun. And I thank everybody individually, as I'm about to do, as soon as I knew I forgot to open one thing, and that was this. But yeah, for as little as a dollar a month, though we appreciate more, of course, but we'll take whatever we can get. We have to thank the following who are currently doing that. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore and Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drucker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, and Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC. By the way, whatever you put in your name on the Patreon, that's what I read. So we're getting some really creative ones here in a minute. Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trewick, Susan Trewick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, Auburn T-Ball Coach, Ben Bloodworth, Bruce Isn't Harsin' Around, Chris Hilton, I wasn't prepared for the ones that have soundboard implications. Chris Hilton.
Please clap.
There we go. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan. I think that's Eric that's doing so well in our Formula One. Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Ole Miss's Miracle Medical Staff, Owl Go Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Sarah Browns.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, crap. He wants me to do too.
What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, War Eagle Always, WDE Richie. Oh, crap. I missed one. There was one that was so long, I thought it was just something at the bottom of the page. This is what happens. These are the dangers. We play Georgia State this week in softball. Soundboard, it's Georgia State 8 week.
It's Georgia State 8 week 2021.
That's the greatest.
I'm dying. I never thought I would get to hear that again.
Oh, well done. That was Bob Winter, Haven Legal. Well done, Bob. I think that's my favorite one I've ever done because it's got a little bit of everything. All it's like a salad of crazy.
I love the cannon in there.
The screen, the explosion. It's just got a little bit of everything. It's like it's like the tour of Italy at Olive Garden for sounds. All right, back to business. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, a retired Kim E. in Galveston. AU Wishbone Bracket Challenge champion Patrick Williams. Well done, Patrick. Well done.
Please clap.
All right. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, our sixth place finisher. Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Dibama, Helping Van Upgrade His Insulation, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, insert favorite soundboard audio. Let's see. Which one have I not used tonight? Oh, here's one.
The Vulgars are full of sound and fury, but believe me, they would not dare take things further.
That's a good one when Alabama week rolls around.
I was going to say, insert favorite soundboard clip, not from Kingdom of Heaven.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I still got to get a couple more from Kingdom of Heaven, though. Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Sebron with an AU. I always forget to mention her AU. I think it's Carol Braun. Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Congrats to Kentucky for beating UNC and Kansas in the regular season, but losing to St. Peter's in the tournament.
Please clap.
There you go. Well done. It's been a good point of discussion with Kentucky fans. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I want early access to the basketball book. Well, you're going to get it because it's heading that way. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt. Honestly, I can't hear John Samuel Schenker anymore without thinking Jingleheimer Schmidt. He's won.
It's just automatic now.
It is now.
He has convinced us that's the name.
It is. It's the name. It's going to be on his jersey. It's a heck of a jersey. Continued on the next player. At least we got the tight ends. We can continue it across the tight ends.
I like it.
John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for life. Loving Auburn's means you have to
smoke weed every day.
That's twice that one got in. Mark Squire, MVP captivating Kathy Bright. Hey, Kathy. Paul Bankson, another Play Random Soundboard clip. All right, here we go.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy King
Tut.
How'd you get so funky?
Funky Tut.
Did you do the monkey?
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia,
King Tut. There you go. This is what you get. Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, having trouble with my bracket. Who knows?
Someone knows. God knows.
Ow! Oh, look at Auburn Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. Was he an SI? He must have gotten in somehow.
I think he's writing little clips for them.
No way. Seriously? How did I miss that?
He is, yes.
Wow. For the equestrian stuff? That's kind of his wheelhouse now.
Yeah.
He's become like
general
the
Auburn stuff.
He's become kind of like the expert on horses stuff. Yeah.
He is. He's the internet expert on equestrian.
That's awesome. Well, good for Auburn Elvis. I like that he put Sports Illustrated on like my TVs. Okay. Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family. This name is brought to you by Bubba's Discount Tire and Tax Services. I like that. Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble plus Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, I think it's time for Guess the Game, is it not?
Bring it on.
All right, here comes Jared's contribution. This is Guess the Game number 48. We are just two away from a milestone.
Can't believe we've done this.
I know.
Who can it be now?
Hello, Van John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the Yard Sale Artist, with Guess the Game number 48. Guess the Game 48 is brought to you by Dr. Crack'em. And we're going to go back to basketball one more time. Let's give a listen to what Dr. Crack'em sent in.
Not a good pass by. Here's back the other way off the backboard. Oh, no, that did not just happen. Wow.
Should we take our number one show on the road or what? Wow.
Well, that's community.
Ooh, okay. I guess I'll see you guys in the hint file.
Okay.
It seems familiar, but
I think it was this year. Again, you may have been listening to the Auburn radio broadcast and not the national TV guys. I think there was a play this year when there was like a pass off the backboard for a dunk, basically.
Yeah, that seems familiar, but I don't remember the game.
We need the hit file. I don't remember the game either.
Basketball is harder than football. Yeah.
It is. And it's also happened to Malik Dunbar at one time, too, I feel like. But
yeah.
Let's go to the hit file.
Let's go to the hit file. Basketball is harder just because there's so many games and there's so many plays, and it's just not as iconic as some of these football plays that we've just seen a million times.
Well, and it's harder to place the time and the announcers and stuff, too.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
All right, here we are in the hit file. Let's give it a listen.
Not a good pass by Cook. Here's Green back the other way off the backboard. Oh, no, that did not just happen. Wow.
Should we take our number one show on the road or what? Wow.
Sounds recent.
Green?
I'll see you guys in the
Wendell
answer file.
Wendell Green. It was this year.
Okay. So did Green, was Green dunking it there or throwing
no,
it?
No, I think he threw it off the backboard to somebody else to dunk it.
Well, it was probably Cambridge, right?
Yeah.
There's like an 80% chance it was Cambridge, but I don't know what game.
Yeah.
Take our number one show on the road. Was it when we were number
so
one?
So maybe we were number one and we were playing at home.
I don't know.
So is that when we beat Alabama?
Could be. Let's go with
say,
it.
Let's go with that.
I'm going to say Devin Cambridge, Alabama. Here we go.
All right, Van, John, if you guys figured out that this was Auburn playing Georgia just this past season, and, of course, Wendell Green and Devin Cambridge putting on a show.
Well, we were close.
Then you guessed right. What a fun season this has been to look back on, and I hope all of our listeners enjoyed basketball season this year at least half as much as I did. If you have a suggestion to send in, like Dr. Crackham did, you can send them to me. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or you can email them directly to me. You can send to Jarrod, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, War Eagle.
Oops, sorry, I hit the wrong button, but that was it. So, apologies to Jarrod for cutting off the last minute of his music, but I was trying to rearrange the soundboard because I was trying to find. Remember, I used to have the helicopter sound effect on here from back.
Yes.
That guy
dropped out of a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, that was your line, and I was trying to find a sound effect, but I don't have it anymore. I was going to play it just to remind Jarrod what he also, you know, did his big contribution of Airwolf to our cause. Listening or watching Airwolf instead of watching game, but if I still had it, I would play it in your honor, Jarrod. Yeah, that was really good. I'm proud of it that we got Devin Cambridge. Just because, like I said, there was about an 80% chance it was going to be Devin Cambridge. And I wish that they could have kept being able to run that play. But like you said in our conversation after the Miami game, it felt like teams figured out the two or three things we were doing very successfully and just took those away. And I think that was one of them.
Now, we
somehow
couldn't pivot to other things. And we couldn't have any more guys who could just like make their own shot, really not need other guys to drive and set them up or whatever. I think that's a big thing for next year.
That's right. All right, well, I guess that takes us to...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
I must break you.
All right, so what do we got?
All right, we only got a couple this week, so I got to put the heat on the listeners and go... Go send us some more emails. So
well, it's a downtime. Plus, I get to go to bed earlier with my cold, so that's fine.
And I'm not saying we need 20 emails a week. All right. So this first one is from Cato the Barner, who says, "All right, fellas, I feel like I've been overly negative about softball recently. So positive things only going forward.
Okay.
I'm not even going to mention getting swept by Arkansas, where in Game 3 alone we somehow gave up 17 runs and only 8 hits. I can't even fathom that number, so I'm not even going to mention it." I did want to call out the positive to watch, though. True freshman Bree Ellis overall was an okay hitter, but her home run hitting has been outstanding. On her 98 at bat, she currently has 25 hits and 13 home runs, meaning when she gets a hit, it's more than half the time she's hitting the ball out of the park than in it.
Woo.
Casey Cooper set the freshman record for Auburn with 18 homers. We have to, we've got to get it going in the postseason. But if we do bust it open, keep an eye on Bree Ellis and that freshman record. Thanks, Cato, the Bree Ellis hype man.
We appreciate it, Cato. That's awesome. Good deal. I don't know as much about. I tell you, the only time I've ever followed Auburn softball really closely was when they were making their runs to the Final Four or whatever, and everybody
the College World Series.
Yeah, and that's on me, and I can do better.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, again, you can't follow everything all the time, but.
Yeah.
You know, the team's playing better, so they deserve some more attention.
For sure.
All right. And the last one, this is from Ryan Brown, who says, Landon King, tight receiver or wide end?
That's right. I mean, that's what we were. Well, I think release valve is also a big part of his thing because he's going to be he and Tank are going to be check downs, and they honestly might be our two most effective weapons on offense when that happens.
I was going to say, I don't know if Landon King is the check down. I think he's the target.
He's option A.
Number one. He's target one.
Wow. It's true. Option A targeted. Yeah, I tell you. But how do you feel about that? I mean, are you glad that we're using our tight ends finally, apparently? Or are you, like, horrified that we have to?
I'm not horrified that we have to, because I think we have good players there, and yeah. it would be wasteful not to use them. And I think Landon King is the best receiving tight end we've probably had since, you know,
Lutzenkirchen.
Uzama Lutzenkirchen. Like, Uzama, probably, right? I mean...
Yeah, he was after Lutzenkirchen, that's right.
So I think he's the best receiving tight end we've had since Uzama. He's a real difference maker as a receiver, I think. And he's a kid. He's going to get much better. So I'm excited to see where he goes.
Well, I think we've got to just find a way to get on the field the most effective players we have. We can't... This is not a year to try to enforce a system. This seems to me a year that you find the 11 best guys you've got, and you figure out a way to get them on the field touching the football. So
that's it. And again, we don't have infinite weapons. This isn't 2004 or some of these other years where we have 20 great guys in the state, you know, in the quivers, in the you know, arrows in the quiver, as you like to say sometimes.
That's right.
And he's the real big, one of the big arrows we have. We got to use him.
Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely. So, bullets in the gun. That's right. All right. Well, do we have any around the SEC? We keep it on our list here on our agenda, but we don't always have a lot going on. I'm not even going to push the button.
Two highly recruited offensive linemen are entering the transfer portal from Georgia, including one that Auburn almost signed at a high school, Mims. So something to keep an eye on there. I don't think we're going to get them, but there's a shot. They're past the deadline to sign with another SEC school for this season. So that's why I think they'll go out of conference. But I think there are going to be, you know, as we enter the end of spring practice and players find out where they stand in the depth chart at Auburn and everywhere else, I think a couple more Auburn players are probably going to leave. But I think a lot of players are going to leave other schools. We're going to have kind of a big second wave of the transfer portal coming up in the next month. And I think Auburn can do some business here.
Do I understand that the end of April is when they have to have it all wrapped up around the SEC, around the country, or whatever?
SEC has their own internal deadline, and it was more like the beginning of April.
Okay.
When guys had to say one way or the other. As nationally, there's not a deadline for that kind of stuff.
All right. I was reading somebody saying that all of it had to be done, maybe it's basketball or something, by the end of April, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, I want to ask this question real quick as we sign off. I haven't done any comedy bits in a while, and I have never gotten the sense whether people thought that was like added value that made our show better than average, or they just put up with it because they liked the rest of our show and they had to sit through that. So do you... And I value, of course, the patrons on this tremendously. I might even do a poll for them. But the rest of you, our faithful listeners, write in on Twitter or through auwishbone@gmail.com and let us know. Do you want some more of the comedy bits like we used to do? And if so, which ones did you like the best? We had the most interesting coach in the world. We had coach, what's his name, at Kansas State?
Coach Snyder.
Coach Snyder used to visit occasionally. We've had some match game stuff. You know, like what we did a few other things. So what kind of comedy things would you want if you do? Or if you just think we should never waste your precious time on that kind of stuff again, let us know that. And we'll just kind of see how it comes out. Yep.
Again, we're not wasting much time because it's just you and I talking. Nobody's actually listening.
That's right.
The Van and I having a conversation on the internet.
Yeah. We're still just two little country kids outside misbehaving. That's right. That's all it is. Nobody else is listening. So, all right. Well, in that case, I guess we will wrap up here. Your final thoughts as we say goodnight.
A day.
Yeah.
We will miss you. Look forward to seeing you again next year.
Yeah. I still miss Jazz Fest. I think on A Day next year, I'm just going to get like a good jazz album and put it on all morning while I'm vacuuming and stuff and then sit down for A Day game.
Good plan.
All right. I guess our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020. Thank you.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.